Now, in order for us to hear from God, we've got to recognize when God is speaking. We've got to hear from God and know that it is the Spirit of God speaking. You know, there are a lot of voices talking at us. And we need to hear and recognize when it is that God is speaking. We need to be able to see God's hand at work in our circumstances. We need to be able to recognize what God is doing sometimes.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour. Remember Moses? To a generation of enslaved Jews, it seemed like there was no hope. Then God sent a child who would lead them out of captivity. God took the worst of times and brought about a miraculous deliverance. Remember Elijah? Oppressed by a wicked dictatorship in a completely pagan environment, he thought he was the last believer on earth. But God had a plan for revealing his glory to a nation steeped in wickedness. Remember Daniel? Israel had been scattered, and Daniel and his friends were brought into a godless culture. But God acted, using a faithful few to dramatically influence an entire nation and accomplish his purposes in the midst of it all. What about the state of the world when Jesus was born? Moral decay, religious hypocrisy, hollow spirituality. But into that context, God brought eternal life to all of mankind in the most improbable way, a baby born in a manger. Yes, we face uncertain times, but we're in good company.
Turn in your Bibles to that portion that was read earlier, Isaiah chapter 7. And I want to share a few thoughts from this passage of scripture. I was reading an article earlier this week that said, you know, we don't have to spend a lot of time trying to make the Bible relevant, because the Bible is relevant. What the preacher's job is to show the relevance of the Bible. But the Bible is certainly relevant. And as I think about all that's been going on in our world and the chaotic stuff that's in the news, it makes this relevant for us to have some instruction as to what we should do in uncertain times. So let's pray together and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bow before you now, and we ask that you would cause your word to come alive. Lord, challenge us. We pray that you would not just tickle our ears, but that you would convict us, change us, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Associated Press came out this week with an article that pointed out how this last couple of years have been filled with disasters. We have been just pummeled, not only here in the United States, but around the world. You think about Japan and the tsunami and the nuclear, you know, emergency that created. Unprecedented triple-digit heat that just wiped, you know, across the country here in the United States, and the devastating drought, deadly tornadoes that leveled towns and wiped out houses across the country and throughout the Midwest, massive rivers overflowing, billion-dollar blizzards, and now unusual hurricane-caused flooding, even as far north as Vermont. If it's not falling from the sky, then just consider like an earthquake in places that never experience an earthquake. In fact, Carol and I and the family, we were down in Virginia when that happened, and the kids and the others, they felt the earthquake. We were in the car ready to go shopping, so I didn't feel anything. But you stop and think about places shaking that never shake. It's just been a very unusual last year. Total weather losses top $35 billion, and that's not counting Hurricane Irene. And so there have been all kinds of tragedies and all kinds of uncertainties that have faced us. And we don't even know what this week is going to bring. Now they're saying something else is coming up the coast. And if you turned off your sump pump, you better go turn it back on, because it's going to get another round of weather this week. We live in uncertain times. But I want to tell you that the Bible has some instruction for us as believers who live in uncertain times. We all have an uncertain future, and yet there are certain basic things that we can follow and that we can do throughout these uncertain times. And so this passage gives us some of these instructions, and I want you to take note of these and not just write them down, not just remember them, but let's try and put into practice in our daily lives these particular instructions. The first one is in verse 4. Now, to give you the background of what's going on here, I need you to understand that the nation of Judah, the southern kingdom, was under attack. They were living in uncertain times. The northern kingdom of Israel had become their enemy. And there was a fighting going on between the north and the south. And then in addition to that, Syria off to the east also was attacking and posed a threat to Judah. And so they had these two kings and these two countries that were presenting imminent danger to the nation of Judah. And so they faced uncertain times. They were sure that they were about to be defeated. And the prophet Isaiah, speaking to the nation of Judah in these turbulent, uncertain times, he had a word for them. And the word for them right there in verse 4 is, and I think it's made bold in your bulletin, take heed to the word of God. Take heed. Now, you know, we can pay attention to a whole lot of things when times get tough and when uncertainty is facing us. Most of us, our first reaction is we turn on CNN or we turn on the news. We want to hear what's going on. We want to get the advice from the weatherman or from some other source. But the Bible tells us that not that you can't turn on the weatherman, not that you can't hear what's going on from the news, but what we need to do is we need to take heed to the word of God. Only the word of God can speak to our hearts. Only the word of God can calm our souls. Only the word of God gives us and reminds us that we serve a sovereign God who sits above all that nature can do. Somebody needs to hear me today. The winds can howl and the storms can blow, but God sits high and looks low. And only the word of God can speak to our hearts in that way. You know, you can go to the movies. You can take a vacation. You can work off the stress on the treadmill. You can TGIF, you can happy hour yourself to death, but only the word of God provides the answers that speak peace in the midst of the storm. And so I want to encourage you the way the prophet encouraged the nation of Judah to take heed to the word of God. Now, in order to take heed to the word of God, you have to know the word of God. Amen. You have to spend time reading and studying, spend time in the word of God. You can't wait till the winds are blowing to try and, well, where was that verse? You know, you have to know the word of God so it can speak to you and speak peace to you. And the pastor might not always be available. Amen. He might be on vacation. The pastor might not always be around. That good Christian friend of yours might not always be around. And so you need to know the word of God. You need to heed the word of God. You need to learn not only to see the Bible, but to see the world through the Bible. You know, I consider the Bible to be like a windshield. You know, if you take and my car is parked right outside. If you were to take a look at the windshield of my car, you would probably see bugs and dirt and all kinds of stuff on the windshield. But the idea is not to look at the windshield. The idea is to look through the windshield. And if you look through the windshield, you see the world as it goes by. And you see the world in a different way. And so the Bible is like that. It's not a matter of just looking at the Bible. It's not a matter of just reading the Bible. It's not even a matter of just memorizing a few verses in the Bible. The goal of studying and knowing the Bible is so that you can see the world through the lens of Scripture. That it can inform your worldview as you navigate through those uncertain times. Are you with me? Amen. And so we need to make sure that we study and know the Bible so that it can become a windshield for us, that it can become a lens for us, that we can see and understand what God is doing in the world around us. You know, there was a man who had been in business for many years, and his business turned south. And he lost a whole lot of money. And so he came to the pastor and made an appointment with the pastor. He was ready to commit suicide. He didn't know what to do. And so he sits with the pastor. And the pastor says, I tell you what you do. Take a beach chair and your Bible and drive to the beach. And then take the chair and the Bible and go sit down in the sand. And open up your Bible, and as the wind blows, it'll blow the pages around. And when it settles down on a certain page, you'll see the answer. So the man went, and he took his beach chair and his Bible and went to the beach, and he opened up his Bible, and sure enough, the wind was blowing, and it was blowing around the pages, and the pages finally settled down. And he looked down, and sure enough, there was his answer. So about 3 months later, he comes into the pastor's office, and now he's decked out in an Italian suit, and his wife is decked out in a full-length mink, and the little kid in a silk suit. And he comes in, and he hands the pastor a wad of money, and the pastor says, thank you, but what in the world happened? And he says, well, I followed your instructions, and I saw the answer. And he said, well, what in the world did the Bible say to you that would, you know, give you such a big turnaround? And he told him, he says, well, I looked in the Bible, the wind stopped blowing, it settled down. And when I looked down, there it was, chapter 11. Oh, y'all are slow. Y'all are. Now, that's not how we're supposed to use the Bible. As a matter of fact, if your pastor ever tells you to use the Bible that way, you need to run and go find another church. There are a lot of Christians who have that kind of a hit and miss approach to Scripture. You know, it's almost like we close our eyes and what's the verse for today? Well, that's not how we're supposed to study the Bible. We need to read the Bible. We need to take the whole counsel of God. We need to go through the Scripture to take things in context. We need to study it, memorize it, meditate on the Word of God so that God can speak to us. And that's what we need to do. Unfortunately, there are no easy answers. There's just hard work in studying the Bible. And I've said many times, and I'll encourage you again this year, that if we could just daily get in the habit of what? This side and this side. And just study and consistently read through the Word of God. If you read 2 pages a day, this side and that side, you'll read the whole Bible in about 2 years. And that's what we need to do. We just need to be dedicated and disciplined to do it. Amen. That's a soft and a weak amen. But I want to encourage you. Our name is Monco what? Bible Fellowship. And it starts with us studying and reading the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you to do that and to be disciplined. When you face uncertain futures, we need to take heed to the Word of God. The second thing that I want you to notice is also there in verse 4. And that is when facing an uncertain future, we need to be quiet and let God speak. Amen. You know, some of us, we come to God in our devotional time, and sure, we might stop and read a few verses, But then we've got a long, we pull out our prayer list, and by the time we finish talking to God, our time is up, and we're out of there. And we never do stop and be quiet long enough for God to speak to us. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? There's going to be time to strategize. There's going to be time to plan. There's time to lay our burdens on at the feet of Jesus. All of that is good. But some of us jump to that option and out of that option way too quickly. And we never give God a chance in silence to just have him speak to us. When we just meditate on the word of God that we've just read and have God speak to us. You know, we had a men's breakfast yesterday. Very good men's breakfast, I will say. If you guys that weren't there, you missed an excellent, excellent men's breakfast. But one of the things when we came in, it was noted, you know, Pastor Sam is not here. He's down. He's finishing his vacation. He's actually driving back today. But he usually takes care of a little background music for the, you know, while we're eating breakfast. He'd go in and put a little CD on or something, have some music. So it was noted that, you know, we don't have any music. It was like quiet. And so Pastor Tyrus, he goes and he said, has a little phone there with the MP3 and did his little techno thing and had a little bit of music coming out of that. And I was stopping to think, I said, you know what? We really do hate silence. We can't stand silence. You know, you jump in the car, first thing you do, click the radio on. You come home, what's first? Get the remote, turn something on. Got to have something going, some noise happening, some distraction. We live in a world that's just filled with distraction. We need that stimulus all the time. And as believers, as Christians, who need most of all to hear from God, we have so much distraction in our world, we never have an opportunity for God to just speak quietly to our souls. Amen. Get quiet now. Stop and think about that. Stop and think about your world as I think about my world. And the reality is we need to be quiet sometimes and let God speak. Our time in prayer should not just be our talking to God, but prayer time needs to include quiet time, meditating on the word of God so that God can speak to us. And when we pray that way, and as God speaks to us, he answers our prayers. Now, in order for us to hear from God, we've got to recognize when God is speaking. We've got to hear from God and know that it is the Spirit of God speaking. You know, there are a lot of voices talking at us. And we need to hear and recognize when it is that God is speaking. We need to be able to see God's hand at work in our circumstances. We need to be able to recognize what God is doing sometimes. You know, there's a story about the guy, I think I told this before, the guy who was walking along the railroad tracks, and he got his foot stuck in the railroad tracks. Does that sound familiar? And the train is coming. And he sees the train, so he throws up a quick prayer. Lord, if you get me out of this, I'm going to stop smoking. So the train keeps on coming, and he's pulling, he can't get it. He says, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'm not only stop smoking, I'll stop cussing too. And he's pulling his foot out, and he can't get his foot loose of the train. Now it's coming closer and closer and closer. And then he says, Lord, if you help me get my foot out of here, I'll stop smoking, I'll stop cussing, I'll stop running with loose women too. And then he pulls his foot just in time, and he jumps off away from the tracks, and the train comes by. And the first thing out of his mouth is, Lord, never mind, I got it out myself. Wow. You know, sometimes we just don't recognize when God answers our prayer. You remember when we were in 1 Samuel, studying 1 Samuel, and we talked about Hannah. One of the things about Hannah, why even in the distress of her prayer, she was able to worship God at the end of chapter 1, Because she was able to draw a line between God and the answer to her prayer. She saw that little baby in her arms as the answer to her prayer. Some of us explain stuff away in our minds. It's coincidence. It's luck. It's the way things worked out. It's Mother Nature. It's all kinds of stuff. And we fail to draw a line between God in heaven and what's going on in our lives. If we're going to have quiet time before God, if he's going to speak to us, we've got to be able to recognize his voice. We've got to be able to recognize his hand. We've got to be able to recognize God in the midst of our lives. And so we need to recognize God's answers, as that will encourage us to continue to pray. Listening for God to speak means seeing the connection between God and the answer to your prayer. And so when you're facing an uncertain future, spend some quiet time with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let me share a couple more real quick. Well, in verses 4-9, we find that when facing an uncertain future, we need to let trust conquer fear. We need to let trust conquer fear. They were told in verse 4, do not fear or be faint-hearted, for these two stubs of smoking firebrands, that's what we call the kings of the north and the kings of Syria, stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin in Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and trouble it. Let us make a gap in its wall for ourselves and set a king over them, the son of Tabal. Thus says the Lord God. And I want you to see this. Man has his plans. Man plots his deeds. But look at what God shall say. Nor come at, for that Syria is the message. 65 years of Ephraim will be broken. And so we find that God says that, you know, the head of this country and the head of that country, that amounts to nothing when it comes to God. He is the sovereign. He's the one that's in charge. And so we need to trust in God.
Stay right there. Dr. Hart will return with the close of today's teaching. But first, we're excited to share with you a very special offer. It's Dr. Tony Hart's new book, Table Talk. Here, Dr. Hart takes an in-depth look at the Last Supper and all that Jesus had to say to his disciples and to us. If you're serious about discipleship, this exposé is a must-have addition to your spiritual library. And if you haven't done it lately, we'd like to invite you to visit our newly designed website and check out our resource page. Both of Dr. Tony Hart's other books, Winning is Everything, and Two Tablets for Your Marriage are also available. You can obtain any of our website resources for a gift of any size in support of our ministries. Our contact information is GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA 19446. You can also reach us by phone at 215-361-8111. Our web address is www.gogfministries.org. And now here's the conclusion of today's teaching.
Now, I don't know what it is you're facing today in your life. I don't know what the circumstance is, what the storm. It might be a storm in your family. It might be the storm that came up the East Coast. It might be a relational storm. It might be a financial storm. It might be a physical storm. It might be people plotting against you. I have no idea. But one thing I do know is that wherever the storm is coming from, whatever the source of that storm is, listen to me now, saints. God is sovereign over the source of that storm. Your boss might not like you. He might have it out for you, but he's just a stub in a firebrand. And God sits in heaven, and he is the sovereign. He's the one that's in charge. Man can have his plans, and man can plot his deeds, but when God says it will not stand, when God says that it's not going to go down that way, when God's plan is moving in a different direction, you can trust God. Amen. You don't have to fear what man has to say. I need to be saying something to somebody today, because I think all of us need to understand that our trust in God conquers our fear. And when you find yourself afraid of the circumstances, when you find yourself in fear of the situation that you're in, it's only a red light that should warn you that your trust level is low. And we need to be trusting in God. In Dale Ullman's book, Gospel Trumpets, is a story of the little children in London being evacuated during World War II when Germany showered London with the bombs. And the king had directed for all of the little children to either go underground or to leave the city. And so there was this one little girl being led along by her brother, who was a little older than she was. And as they were leading their way, making their way out of the city to escape the bombing, the little girl cried out, "But I don't know where we're going." And the brother responded, "I don't know where we're going either, but the king knows, and we're supposed to follow." Wow, what a lesson for us as believers. You know, there's some times when I don't know where God is taking us. I don't know what God is up to. I don't know where God is going with this. If I was God, I wouldn't do it that way. Come on now. There's some times when I don't know where God's hand is leading. But one thing I do know is that God knows. He loves us. He's demonstrated that love for us. And we can follow him in confidence. We can allow our trust to conquer our fear. We don't always understand the whys. We don't always understand what he's up to. But I want to tell you that he has demonstrated that he loves us and he cares about us. And he asks us to take heed to what he has to say. Follow his instructions. Have him lead you and guide you in your life. And I wonder if I'm talking to somebody here who maybe is facing some uncertainty. The Lord knows all about that situation. And he's asking you to follow him. Take heed to his word. Let your trust conquer your fear.
We are so grateful that you chose to join us today. We continue to pray that our ministry is a blessing to you. We also appreciate hearing from our listeners. Send us a note or give us a call. And don't forget to let us know how we can pray for you and yours. Once again, you can reach us at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA 19446. You can find us online at www.gogfministries.org. Or by phone again at 215-361-8111. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Pastor Sam Butler, and all of us here at the GOGF, I'm Sheila King reminding you that our God is awesome.